Hi, Pals. I'm Abby.
And I'm Moira. Welcome to Yapcast, a place where we talk about things we know and care too much about.
This week's topic, the Disney parks.
Moira and Abby,
so
we're gonna
what
yap
began
today.
Your
We've got special
Disney
interests
parks.
And too much to
so
say.
As far as I can remember, I have never been or. When someone asks you about Disney, you know, if I say, I've been to Disney World, I've been to Disneyland Paris, a lot of times the follow-up question is, what's your favourite Disney film? And I understand that. That makes sense. They go hand in hand. Except I'm not a Disney film enthusiast. I am a Disney parks enthusiast to the point where I don't think it was Disney films that fueled my love of Disney parks.
Oh, wow.
I obviously watched some things as a child before I went to Walt Disney World. And the one thing that's always been a constant is Mary Poppins. That was a Disney film that I loved. In terms of all your other things, like Snow White or The Little Mermaid, or Sleeping Beauty, I don't think I'd seen those. Not that I can remember, because I was very young. I don't think I'd seen those before I went to a Disney park.
That's
I'd seen Mary Poppins. Yeah. I think at that point I maybe seen Fox and the Hound, and that was traumatizing. That was really sad.
I don't think I've seen it.
Don't.
Okay.
I don't recommend. It's okay when you're like 4 years old. It's really sad.
Oh. So. Okay. I'll skip that one then. But you just like amusement parks though. Kind of.
Yeah. And I like the vibe of Disney parks. So I think what started my love of Disney parks was just before we went in 1998, for the first time, we had a Walt Disney World UK planning video, VHS. And it was essentially, I remember it opened with like aerial shots of Walt Disney World, of like Magic Kingdom and Epcot. And then it like zoomed in on this woman in a Mickey Mouse shaped hot air balloon. And she was like, hi, my name is blah, blah, blah. And we're here in Orlando, Florida. And we're going to tell you all about Walt Disney World. So it was literally a Walt Disney World planning video where she went around all the different parks that were open at the time in 1998. And she even it kind of like followed a couple of families from the UK and what families from the UK liked to do in Disney World and Florida, and I would watch that on repeat.
Oh man,
I loved it. It was absolutely insane. In fact, I think I can probably find it for you on YouTube so you can see what kind of things I was watching as a four-year-old.
Please.
Yeah.
Please do.
I loved it to the point where I would probably watch it then at least once a year. Like every year after that for as long as we had a VHS. Because I just wanted to go back to Disney World. I wanted to be there because it was magical and I loved it.
That's adorable. That's some top tier marketing,
yeah.
Too.
It is. I mean, it was marketed very well to me because obviously I also love to heavily plan things. And this was like, here's how to plan. And here's the top things to do. So I was like,
why did you have the VHS with the intention of planning to go?
Yeah, so I believe that my parents, we were planning to go to Disney World, and obviously in the 90s the thing to do then was go to travel agents and book a package deal through a travel agent, like a local travel agent, and they would give you brochures. And I think at the time, you could also get a VHS, but, you know, it was however long, an hour maybe, if that, which showed you, like, all these things to do. So yeah, sure. It was bought with the intention of going. My parents had been before. My dad went on, it was called the Tencennial, which was in 1981, which was the 10-year celebration of Walt Disney World. So he'd been before in 1981, his friends, his girlfriend at the time. And then obviously, well, not obviously, like 10 plus years later, my mum and dad lived in Florida, so they had resident passes to go to Walt Disney World. So they've been a few times, but, you know, it might have changed since they were last there, and they wanted to know if they could get deals on park tickets, you know, or on a package deal, and anything new happened since that we don't want to miss out on. And I think it was to get us excited as well, to be like, you know, it tried to explain the concept of Disney World to a child.
Yeah, that's adorable. I don't know anything, right? Like, I have been to Disneyland Paris, but I don't know anything about any of the parks. I'm like pretty sure there is a, like, at the beginning, you know, at the beginning of like Disney VHSs, they would have the ad for Disneyland or Disney World, mm-hmm. or I don't even know the difference. I don't even know which one's Disneyland and which one's Disney World, or what the difference is, or if it matters. So I'm truly a noob, which is hilarious because I've been to Disneyland with you twice.
Mm. Well,
but I'm excited.
So there are six parks. You could call it. The first one was Disneyland in Anaheim in California. That opened in July of 1955.
Oh my god.
It's celebrating its 70th anniversary this year. Yeah.
That's crazy.
It was the first one to open. A lot of people who are like Disney parks enthusiasts as well, I guess, like to go, and they often say that it feels a bit more magical because it's the only one that Walt walked in, essentially. He died before Walt Disney World opened, so people like to think that Disneyland kind of has that stamp of approval from Walt, because, you know, he built it from the ground up and he would often be there just in the park random days. And I don't know if you've ever heard that above the fire station in Disneyland, California, there is an apartment which is called Walt's apartment, which is where he would be if he was in the park. It was Walt's office. And he'd always know if he was in because he would turn his lamp on.
Oh, that's cute.
So, and ever since, they just kind of keep the lamp lit for Walt. And on certain, you can do certain tours in the Disney parks, and there's one in Disneyland, California, where I believe you can go into Walt's apartment and take a picture and have a look at it. I think some of the original furniture has been removed, but it's been completely recreated in how he like left it. You can go and see it.
I love that. I would love to go.
It'd be very cute.
But they're huge, right? This is such a you have so many interesting things to tell me. And I'm like, are they big?
So Disneyland California is tiny. Teeny tiny.
Oh.
Obviously it's not big because it's an amusement park, but it's even smaller than Disneyland Paris.
Wow.
Yeah, it's teeny tiny.
Interesting. It's teeny tiny.
It's even, and the two parks at Disneyland California are even closer to Disneyland Paris. So it's not a long walk from Disneyland Park to Studios in Paris. But you come out of Disney California, DCA, which is Disney California Adventure, is there, it's across the, it's called the Esplanade, I think. Yeah, within seconds.
That's crazy.
But if you're talking about Walt Disney World, that one is big. That's over, I think it's over like 42 square miles.
In room to expand. Metric units.
Oh, what do you want in kilometers?
Kilometers yards? Would be good. Yeah, yards.
In feet? 42, that is 67.5 kilometers.
Oh my god, that's, my work is, I think, 11 kilometers from where I am.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. Is that including like the hotels and stuff, or is that like the park?
Yeah, that's inclusive of the entire resort, I guess, let's say.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit
better. All the hotels. Yeah, it's crazy. They have their own, you'll like this because you like 911, they have their own fire department called the Reedy Creek Fire Department.
Oh my god, that's so cute. I do like, conceptually, like the political sway of Disney in Florida. I think it's interesting. A kind of horrific capitalism hellscape, but also interesting.
But also, Big Mouse, you know?
Yeah. Crazy.
Big Mouse, Pretty Castle.
That's crazy.
So, after Disneyland California, Walt Disney World was opened. That was in 1971. It opened, I believe, originally just with Magic Kingdom, which is the park with the castle in it. And then in 1982, they built Epcot, which I don't know if you've seen pictures, is the one. It looks like a giant golf ball.
Yes. I know the TikTok meme. Epcot ball.
Yeah, Epcot. Yeah. And that stands for Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
It stands for something?
Yeah.
Oh my god. That's delightful.
So it was meant to essentially be a vision of the future.
Mm.
So inside the Epcot bar is a ride called Spaceship Earth.
Ooh.
And that kind of essentially takes you through, oh my god, it's so good, it's very relaxing, I nearly fell asleep in it. It essentially takes you through like the start of civilization through to what the future could be.
Do they change it, or has it been like...
That's what's kind of cool. It's like in that kind of like what the 80s or the future would be. So it's like quite nostalgic, a little bit silly.
Flying cars, skateboards.
Yeah,
and
like
stuff.
Literally.
Interesting. Yeah. That's delightful.
I love it. It's great if you want a nap or a good time. Because there's one bit where you're like, it's dark and you're just amongst the stars. And, you know, it's just nice. It's nice and cool. And you've been out in like 90 degree heat. You're going backwards down this thing. Oh, it's nice.
I'm going to have to look at how much is... I feel like at this point I should know what 90 degree heat is.
It's like 30 something.
So 90's 32. That's how hot it is today. Cool.
Yeah.
Perfect frame of reference. It's almost like you planned this.
Epcot followed in 1982. And it used to be called MGM Studios, but it's now called Hollywood Studios. That opened in 1989. And then Animal Kingdom opened in 1998. But I think it was like, I would say it was maybe like April or May 1998, because we didn't actually go to Animal Kingdom because it wasn't open yet when we went, because we went in February 1998.
Oh.
So we didn't get to experience Animal Kingdom until 2003 is when we next went.
Oh. Are there real animals in Animal Kingdom, or is it like...
Moira, you can go on a safari in Animal Kingdom.
Positive or derogatory?
Positive.
Oh, okay. I like that. I like that.
It's great. You see hippos. This is off the top of my head. You see hippos, elephants, lions, giraffes, a couple of other things. What are they called? You know, like an antelope kind of thing.
Oh.
Crocodiles. So you can do that, but then
how do they look? I can't remember the animals.
They have like specifically what you're gonna find out is that Walt Disney World is a little bit insane.
Yeah. That's what so I'm expecting.
They have it's not just like random cast members who are like, here, I'll feed a giraffe or whatever. They have like specifically trained animal personnel who tend to and care for the animals.
That's so cool. So is it like essentially a zoo, but like a safari zoo, free rangey type situation?
Yeah.
That's kind of sick.
It is. It's really cute. They used to, when I don't remember when they stopped it, but the Kilimanjaros essentially had a storyline to it. I think back when I went, maybe in 2003, it had it, where not only were you just going around the safari and looking at the animals, you were also, I don't know, part of a search party to look, I can't remember what it was like to look for some like missing baby elephant or something. I remember they drove pretty fast at one point because they were like, there's poachers or something like that, and because like, you're in an actual driven truck by a cast member.
Yeah.
You're driven around the animal thing, like a safari. But they stopped that and they don't do that anymore. It's probably for the best, because I remember being a little bit scared. So I was like, we're gonna get shot. There's poachers.
That's crazy.
I really love Animal Kingdom. And I think as I've got older, I've learned to appreciate Animal Kingdom more.
Hmm. I feel like
it's very, very nice.
I feel like I'm not gonna lie. In my head right now, I'm thinking, what is the climate like? Are these animals happy? Because I went to Tokyo Zoo and they have a polar bear in Tokyo Zoo, and it is hot in Tokyo most of the time.
Yeah.
And it is the saddest looking thing you've ever seen. And I hope that it's well looked after, but it looks like it is not. And that's all I can think about. But I also feel like, for all of the capitalism faults of Disney conceptually, I feel like they do tend to be on the right side of stuff like animal welfare, maybe. I'm sure someone will tell me how wrong I am and about the time they like killed a dog or something. But like... I feel like the parks at least have always been quiet.
Mm. Yeah, I've never been on the safari and been like, oh, these animals don't look happy. They all look like they're living their lives, flying around in their little, not enclosures, because it's all open, all like open land, but they've separated it in a way that like other animals don't encroach on other animals. So like, lion is not going to take down the antelope. But you can actually do, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head, but you can actually do it's even more in-depth look at the safari. So you go around the safari on the bus, but then there's another, I don't know the name of it, something trail or something, where you walk it. So like, you get quite close to the crocodiles or alligators in the bus, but if you do this thing, you can walk over a wooden bridge over them. It's kind of cute. It includes like a lunch and everything. They have a special like designated area that kind of overlooks like plains, I guess, like the Serengeti, and you sit and have like a hot meal. That's quite cool. I think if I ever went back, I'd like to do that. I feel like you would like Animal Kingdom because it has all this cool animal stuff and all these tie-ins to like African and Asian cultures, and there's like an incredible amount of species of plants. Like that's why I like Animal Kingdom, because it's just like greenery, which is really, really nice. Feels like I can breathe in there. Especially in that Florida humidity. Like I get in there and go, like, it almost doesn't feel like you're in Disney, because compared to the other parks where it's like very magical, or it's about the targeted towards like Disney films and things like that, you get there and like it's not obviously Disney.
Yeah,
it could be a zoo or something else, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting that they haven't tried to do like a Lion King tie-in or something like that.
Well, they have a Lion King show, which is really, really good. Really good. And it has one of my favourite Disney rides ever. It has Expedition Everest. It's really cool. It has like so a lot of the rides have backstories to them. And the Expedition Everest one is the going up Everest. All through the queue there are like pictures of Everest and like things left over from other people who've been on expeditions and stuff, and all these like nods to something. They're like, oh, you know, these what's the word I'm looking for, like myths and tales about the Yeti. You know, you're like, that's not real. Yeti's not real. And you go on the ride and you go to Everest. Uh-oh, Yeti is real. Yeti is scary. It's just very fun. I love that ride. Yeah, I love Animal Kingdom. They also have two water parks there. One is Blizzard Beach and the other is Typhoon Lagoon. Blizzard Beach is... kind of does what it says on the tin, and the theme is that it's like snowing at the beach. It looks like everything's kind of like covered in like snow. It's really cool.
Interesting. I'm confused as to why it's a typhoon, but cool. Typhoon Lagoon.
Yeah, Typhoon Lagoon.
Is that the one that's snow themed?
No, Blizzard Beach is snow themed.
I was about to be like, none of those words invoke snow, but Blizzard Beach makes a little bit more sense.
Yeah, Blizzard Beach is the one that's meant to be almost like a ski resort. So the some of the water slides that you go down look like ski slopes.
Ooh.
It has like the chair lifts and things that you go up in, you know, like get on it.
That's cool. It's this really is giving cool. Like Mario Kart racetrack vibes.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'm really sad that on my last trip to Disney World in 2019, I didn't go to the water parks. My dad did take my brothers, but I didn't go. I'm sad that I didn't. They're a lot of fun. But yes, and it was followed by the next parks to open were Tokyo Disney in 1983. And then they added on the Tokyo Disney Sea in 2004. Then it was Disneyland Paris in 1992. And then Hong Kong in 2005. And the most recent one, which is Shanghai, was in 2016. They're coming up to, it'll be 10 years next year. Shanghai has been open.
Oh, wow.
Not long. is a baby.
It is. Is Shanghai the one that Baekhyun went to?
Oh. Or did he go to Hong Kong? I'll have some look. It could have been Hong Kong.
That's all I know about.
Could have been Hong Kong.
That's all I know about.
I would love to go to Tokyo Disney.
I could
especially
have gone,
Tokyo Disney Sea.
And I chose not to. Rookie error. Rookie error. I know my sins now.
I would love to go to especially Tokyo Disney Sea, because it's just so different to the other parks, and that it has its own. I'm not well versed in it because it's quite not intense. What's the word I'm looking for? It's quite detailed. There's like an insane lore behind Tokyo Disney Sea and like the story behind it and what have you. I would just love to go. So different.
Interesting.
I would have to take 7 suitcases. It's really hard to explain it. I can't remember exactly. Let me have a look. Okay. I have found what Tokyo Disney Sea stands for. So a bit like how Epcot is actually... It means Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow.
It's an acronym. I thought it was just going to be acronym, like ocean themed or something.
It is. It is ocean themed, but SEA stands for the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, also known as SEA.
That's
it's a fictional
cool.
organization in various attractions and theme parks. It originates in Tokyo Disney Sea. So the society was founded on August 12, 1538 in Porto Paradiso, Italy, within the thought of Fortress Explorations, consisting of scientists, explorers, researchers, artists, travellers and adventurers from around the globe. Sea is dedicated to the continued exploration of the world's oceans and exotic lands. Four guiding concepts are represented as Sea's original fortress crest. You've got adventure represented as a galleon, romance, which is an armillary sphere, discovery is a compass, and innovation is artist tools. Selected as the best ways to represent the original charter and mission statement, which simply read, "We, the Society of Explorers and Adventurers, shall acquire knowledge through exploration." So that is the intense lore around sea. I would love to. Obviously, I do not know that lore very well because there is so much to say it doesn't exist in real life. It's just something that's made up. I would love to speak to someone who is well versed in it because it sounds really interesting, but also it's probably for the best because that would take me down a huge rabbit hole.
A fun rabbit hole, though.
This is true. It also, like it said in there, it also crops up in Hong Kong Disney as well, I think. Oh. In a ride called Mystic Manor, which is essentially their kind of version of Haunted Mansion, but it's more to do with that society of explorers. Much like how the Tower of Terror in Tokyo Disney Sea isn't themed like the other Tower of Terrors, you know, where it's like scary people in a Hollywood lift. It's to do with the same society of explorers that, you know, kind of go missing and things like that, and there's a mystery surrounding it.
That's so cool. It's giving Uncharted. I don't know if you ever played that game. Or saw the phenomenal Tom Holland movie. Maybe it's for the best, so you don't know what I'm talking about. But that does sound really cool. I love the Uncharted. They're about a guy. I'm not going to explain it. We'll do an episode on Uncharted. I finished those the first three games in like one sitting. Anyway, that's sick. I'm sufficiently tantalized. I really want to know more now. I probably shouldn't want to know more, but I do. It's probably not good for my health, but I will be on YouTube later looking this up.
Yeah, I would definitely recommend looking at the Tokyo Disney stuff. It's all based, you know.
I always find it so cool how there's like they have lore for the rides and stuff like that. That's like separate to like any of the Disney movies or blah blah blah. Like, it would have been so easy for them to just essentially sell Disney with the Disneyland parks. Like, you know, you've got the princesses and you've got the all that kind of stuff. And now they've obviously got all these other IPs. But like, obviously, we love Phantom Manor in this household, and that's not.
Oh,
I would.
The lore behind Phantom Manor is incredible.
I would love it if they made a movie based off of Phantom Manor.
Genuinely. Yeah, I mean, they've got Haunted Mansion, which is like technically the same thing. They've got the Haunted Mansion of the film. Would I recommend that? I think there's two Haunted Mansion films now. I think they made a newer one. The one that I watched as a kid was with Eddie Murphy. To be fair, I did love that film, but it's because I loved Haunted Mansion.
Mm.
There's a Muppets Haunted Mansion, which has Darren Criss in it.
Oh my god. Sign me up.
You definitely need to watch that. But yeah, the whole lore around that area, the Thunder Mesa area, and how Thunder Mountain is linked to the Phantom and Phantom Manor.
Mm.
Incredible. I love it. I love it so much. I love that there's just so much thought go into it. Because you can just go and be like, okay, cool ride or whatever. Then someone goes, yeah, well, actually, did you know?
Let me tell you the lore behind this ride.
Yeah, and then you're like, oh, okay. So I remember I was very lucky and very privileged that as a child, the only theme parks that I had been to was Walt Disney World. And then I remember when I was about 11, I want to say, I went to, and then I guess it's not the same. I went to Blackpool with my friend for a week. And we went to Blackpool Pleasure Beach, which is a UK theme park. I was really excited, and don't get me wrong, I had a great time. The rides were great. I love an old rickety wooden roller coaster more than anything. But I was like, where's the theming? It's like, where's the story? Where's the magic? I still had a great time though. Made up my own lore.
What's the story of this old rickety roller coaster? If it doesn't have one, I'll make one. That is a threat.
I have been to Walt Disney World. Four times. And I have been to Disneyland Paris 8. With the 9th coming up this December. All at various times of my life. My first trip was 1998. I had my 4th birthday at Walt Disney World. I had character dining. So I got to meet the characters for my birthday lunch, which was really cute. And I spent all day dressed as Minnie Mouse, including these like I guess they were like costume shoes rather than shoes you should wear as actual shoes.
Mm.
They were essentially just like hard bits of plastic that had Minnie Mouse on them, and they had like a little buckle.
Oh my God.
And my feet were bleeding. And Mom and Dad were like, here, like, maybe we take these off. And I was like, you'll have to rip them off of my cold, dead body. There is no way I'm taking off my Minnie Mouse shoes. It goes with my Minnie Mouse dress and my Minnie Mouse ears. And it's my birthday. Like, there's no way. You'd have to chop my feet off first. Like, I will not part with them.
Oh my God. That I could just picture you doing that too.
And then we went to, so we stayed in a villa that time. We had a nice villa with a pool, which is where I nearly drowned.
What?
I didn't know how to swim, right? I was 4 years old. And we had this big blow-up, like, whale thing. So I was just sat on the blow-up whale in the pool. I didn't have armbands on or anything. And I fell off the whale and sank to the bottom of the pool. My dad does not know how to swim and doesn't like water. So instead of jumping in to save me, he just got like, you know, you have those pool nets.
Yeah.
Just like put that in and was like, grab onto this. And I'm like, I am drowning. Yeah.
I hate that trauma. Story.
Start of it.
I hate that.
That's fine after that.
Can you swim now?
I can.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
The rest of that trip was great. my mum and dad got me a ice cream cake.
Brilliant.
A helium balloon which we let go of, or it like untied from something, and it floated to the top of the ceiling. It was one of those like big American houses where it was open, so it was like it floated up to the ceiling, and it was like, what, 3 stories up. And I was like, I want my balloon. And like, there's physically no way we can get it down.
Oh my God. At least it kind of stayed inside.
It did, yeah. Some say it's still there. And I also got a set of Barbie heart-shaped balls and pellets that were pink and white gingham with a picture of Barbie in them and a matching cup. One of those like swirly, remember those, what those like cups you'd have as a kid where they had a straw but the straw swirled around the outside?
Yes. Up. I was never allowed one. I always wanted one, but mum and dad were like, it's too hard to clean, how would we clean it? So I was never allowed to get one. And they were right. Now as an adult having to clean my straws, I agree, they are too hard to clean, but they're so much fun.
Then we went back in 2003. I was 9 at the time. We stayed in a hotel that time. It was certainly a hotel. It was pretty dire. I think the first night we had to change rooms because I think there was like a gas leak or something. We switched rooms. And then I remember one day we were at the pool and I think we've forgotten something. Again, another blow-up thing, I think. So me and my dad were like, okay, we'll go back to the room and grab that. And we had the hotel door open. I wasn't helping. My dad was looking for what we needed and I was just stuck at the door. And I turned around and there was an armadillo just walking past the front door.
Who needs Honestly, Animal Kingdom?
I'd never seen an armadillo before. So I was like, what the hell is that? What is this thing? And my dad was like, that's an armadillo. And I was like, don't like that. Don't like that. Especially when there was a nice little cat at the door the night before. I was like, where did the cat go? Has it eaten the cat?
Oh my God.
And then later that night, we were going out for dinner and I saw it curled up next to a potted plant in the hotel lobby. And I was like, does it just live here? Do they know they have an armadillo? I don't. It was all very strange.
Let me look this up. I feel like I know what an armadillo looks like, but now I'm not sure.
They're crazy looking, especially as a kid, if you see one. You would genuinely think you'd seen an alien. especially when you didn't know what it looked like or what it was.
Okay, yeah, I do know what an armadillo is. They do look crazy.
It does look like a Pokemon.
It does. It kind of looks like if you took a beetle and enlarged it and made it, like, animal-sized.
Yeah, so imagine me looking at that and being like, they're real. I'll catch them all, honestly.
That's another episode.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really good trip. We went in August, so it was oily. So hot. But also rained all the time.
Yes.
That was fun. No, it was a good trip though. And then I didn't go back until 2014. And that's when I went with Jess, Steve, and kindly invited me along on their trip, which is really fun. It was Jess's first time. Well, all of their first times at Walt Disney World. I think they'd been to Disneyland Paris before. So I was like, "Oh boy, are you going to be in for a shock? It's about 10 times as big."
I can't even fathom that. I can't even fathom how big it is. Like, you've used words to explain it. You've used measurements. But I don't think I could fathom how big it is. Truly.
There's loads of different modes of transportation to get around Walt Disney World as well. There's the monorail. It's really cool. Although that only goes to certain areas, like that only serves like Magic Kingdom and Epcot, and the resorts that are on the monorail loop around the lake, which is like the Polynesian, Contemporary, and the Grand Floridian. And then there's buses, there's boats you can get to.
You can get a boat.
Yeah, so to get to Magic Kingdom from the what's called the TTC, which is the Transport and Ticketing Center, which is the car park essentially, two ways. You can get on the monorail, or you have to get on the ferry because it's across the lake, is across an entire body of water. You can't like walk to it unless you're at the Contemporary, which is on the same side of the lake.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's like a big what are they called? It looks like a big the ferry boat. But it looks really cool. Hang on. I say it looks really cool. It does look really cool. I think it looks cool. It looks like this. You can see that.
Oh, like kind of like a steamboat ferry situation.
Yeah. It's nice. We used when I was a kid, I liked to use the monorail, and I do still like to use the monorail because monorails are cool.
They are. Like,
it's from the future. Do you know what I mean? Like it gives that vibe. But and normally I don't like boats at all. But it was nice and relaxing. You get a nice breeze, and you go across the lake, and you can see the castle approaching and the entrance, and it's just nice.
I love a boat. I'm a big fan of boats. Conceptually. I don't know what it is.
A lot of boats at Walt Disney World.
Lovely. One day I'll go. Either
they're a boat.
Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe once the political climate's calmed down.
Yeah.
But then what's interesting is I didn't go to Disneyland Paris until January 2017.
Oh, wow.
I was 22 years old.
Oh.
I don't. Yeah. Up until that point, I'd only ever been to Walt Disney World. And I think, I don't know why I hadn't been. I think it was because we'd been a Walt Disney World family. There always seems to be this divide of like, Walt Disney World is better than Disneyland Paris. And I don't know if I agree with that. I feel like there's a class divide there as well. And I'm like, I don't agree with that. Walt Disney World is bigger.
Yeah.
There's more to do. Like, it's more of a, you know, if you stay in a Disney resort, you can, you know, you're essentially staying in what they call the Disney bubble, where it's like you don't see the real world for 2 weeks, essentially. Which can be nice, you know, it can be like an escapism kind of thing. But I don't know. Went to Disneyland Paris for the first time after years of people been like, it's not as good. A lot of people were like, it's tacky, people aren't nice, kind of thing. And then we went and I was like, this place is great. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
The Disneyland Park is stunning. The castle, incredible. So much prettier than Walt Disney World. I love the Walt Disney World castle, don't get me wrong. But I was just like completely blown away. There was things that they don't have in Disney World, like in Adventureland. I walked in and you were met with a giant pirate ship. And I was like,
yes.
What the hell? Like,
I love that.
This is great. Yeah, it's just cool. It's cool looking. Like, and I remember being like, okay, everybody lied to me for years about this place. They made it seem like it was just a cheapo replica version of the thing. I'm like, it's not. So much thought has gone into this, and it's really, really magical. Especially that Disneyland Park. To the point that when I went back to Walt Disney World in 2019 with my family, obviously I was older, and we got to Magic Kingdom. I was very excited about Magic Kingdom. I loved Magic Kingdom. And I was just so overwhelmed. It was so busy. And it didn't feel very magical. There's certain things that I'll always love about Walt Disney World. I think, unfortunately as well, one of my biggest gripes is that when I was a kid and in the 90s, they had an area called Toontown, which was this like beautiful. Did you ever play the Toontown game online?
No. Is this like? Oh my god! Is this like Roger? What's it? Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
So there is in California. There is a Who Framed Roger Rabbit ride and like kind of area.
Oh my god!
Yeah. So California still has Toontown.
I loved Who Framed Roger Rabbit as a kid.
Yeah.
It kind of scared me. It kind of freaked me out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I liked it. I was like, I don't like this, but I like this, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, it's a very kid thing, that. Like,
yeah.
I'm scared of it, but it's also my favorite thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when I was a kid, they had Toontown. And essentially, each character had their own house where you could meet them in. So Minnie Mouse, this house that was all pink and purple and,
oh my god,
just so beautiful, you know. And that's what I think, to an extent, that's probably what I still see Disney as. You know, I saw that on the vacation planning video and was like, whoa, look, shapes and colors. Like, what is this place? And then I can't remember what year it was, but they knocked down Toontown Magic Kingdom and they built what is now called like New Fantasyland. So it was an extension to Fantasyland that you would know as like Peter Pan and the Carousel, you know, kind of area. And they expanded it to become, they added in Enchanted Tales with Belle, which is like an interactive storytelling experience. The Be Our Guest restaurant, The Little Mermaid ride and meet and greet, Mine Train, which is a Snow White and Seven Dwarfs Mine Train ride. And then at the back of that, there was then like Storybook Circus, which was like a circus area. And in there, you can meet like Minnie and Daisy and Pluto and Goofy. And it just, to me, this is my opinion,
Not as good.
It just looks like a big brown mess.
That's so sad.
It used to be this like vibrant, colorful place, lots of trees, and now it was just like brown floors. Mine train is brown. The Beauty and the Beast thing is like gray.
Well, all I'm hearing you say is, don't worry, Moira, you don't need to go to Florida. You can just go to Disneyland Paris again.
Yeah. It's so funny. Like, I love to go to Disneyland Paris. Just to go to Disneyland Paris. Like, people are like, what are you going to do when you're there? And we're very privileged that we've been so many times that we're like, no. Just go on the rides that we like. I just like being in Disneyland Paris, especially because you're probably just more than likely going to stumble across something. You're going to walk down, you're going to be like, oh, there's a character there. I didn't see that, you know? Or something will happen.
And when we were there last, when they had all the music going on and stuff like that.
Yeah, I just think it's great. I do think in more recent years, I think the entertainment is now better at Disneyland Paris than it was at Walt Disney World. Walt Disney World is still cranking out Festival of Fantasy, which when it opened, absolutely loved Festival of Fantasy Parade. But now I see it and I'm like, you need something new. It's been about 10 years or something. You need a new parade. Looking tired, especially after COVID, where they had to cut a bunch of the performers essentially, so it doesn't look as full either. So
that's sad.
I think they need to up their entertainment game now to kind of get on the level with the other thing. I thought to hand it off, give you some of my favorite Disney facts,
please.
So I have three. Two of them are actually about the same restaurant. So there is a restaurant in Hollywood Studios called the Brown Derby. They actually have a guest book that is filled with autographs of all the celebrities who have dined at the Brown Derby. They have it in a glass case. And you can, they'll usually have it flipped to a page of who's signed in there. And if you happen to be in there at the same time as a celebrity, you know, they'll bring the book over and they'll sign it, take a little picture.
Ooh,
very cool.
That is very cool.
And then at the same restaurant, the Brown Derby, I wish they would bring this back. They used to offer something called Dining with an Imagineer. But if you know, the Imagineers are the people who work on, like, the Disney parks.
Yeah.
So it was at the same restaurant, but it was in, like, a closed-off, like, private area. I think it was called a bamboo room. And it'd be, I think it was, like, up to 10 guests or whatever, and I think it was, like, a 3 or 4 course meal, and you would essentially just have this meal with an Imagineer. And you talk to them about their career and what they would be been responsible for in the parks. You don't know which Imagineer you're going to get. Obviously, there's some that are more like prominent than others. That I was like, I don't think it would ever happen. I don't know if he ever did it, but I would want to sit down with Joe Roddy, who's an incredible Imagineer and has done all of my favourite things. He spearheaded Animal Kingdom. He's incredible. I love him so much. I'd love to speak to him. Yeah, you could literally sit and just talk to them about being an Imagineer, what they've been responsible for in the park. I just thought it was so cool.
Imagine if you got the person that did Fantasyland.
Like, I don't know if you've ever seen The Office. Or at least the meme from The Office where where Ryan's like, does anyone have any questions? And Kelly's like, yeah, number one, how dare you? That would be me. How do you feel being responsible for the demise of Fantasy Hunt? I'm the only one with that opinion.
Your opinion like, is yeah, the most like, important.
I get banned.
It'd be worth it.
And what's your third? My last favourite fact is that Walt Disney World technically used to have its own airport. It was called the Walt Disney World Airport or Lake Buena Vista Airport. It was built in 1971 and it was meant to like serve guests of Walt Disney World. It wasn't really like big enough. It was what they call like a stall port, which is short takeoff and landing.
Yeah.
So like they never really built a hangar or anything, and I think it only fit like four small planes at a time. So it never really took off. The landing strip. the landing strip is still there. I don't know what it's used for now. I think they just probably store things there. It runs down the side of the TTC, which is the Transportation Ticket Center. I'll send you a screenshot of it,
please.
So you can see what it looks like on Google Earth. And it also had, you know how they have in certain places in the world, I think mainly America maybe, they have musical highways where you put the wheels of your car over it and drive at a certain speed and it plays a song. They had that on the run on the runway of this little airport. And I think if you went over it at a certain, I think it was like 45 miles per hour or something like that, it would play When You Wish Upon a Star.
Some kind of horrific, demented version of it, but you know.
Literally.
Oh, man. That is interesting. That's I'm going to need to look that up. I think it'll appear in my nightmares, but I have to look it up.
Yeah.
Okay. Time for me to ask questions. Okay. What is your favorite Disney ride?
Thunder Mountain at Disneyland Paris.
Hell yeah.
Locked and loaded, ready to go. It is the best Big Thunder Mountain of all the parks. I know I have not been to all of the parks, but it's a consensus. When me and Jess were on one of our trips, we were speaking to another lesbian couple who were there, and they had been to a lot of the other Disney parks, and they worked in California. The California parks, and you know they were like, what are you excited to do? They were like, you have to do Big Thunder Mountain here. It's just so much better than any of those other parks, I could promise you. And we were in the queue, and they like towards the end of the night, and they turned up behind us and they were like, oh hey, we're going on Big Thunder Mountain. So we were like, oh, we get to ride it with you. And they came off and they were like, oh my god. Yeah. Like better than anything.
Yeah.
Anything. They're like, it goes underground. I was like, yes, because we're going underwater to an island. How insane is that? And they were like, what?
That was the first Disney ride really cool. I went on.
Straight off a 30-hour journey.
Yeah. We went and we lined up for Thunder Mountain. Yep.
That'll wake you up.
It did. Well, the line woke me up. Or put me to sleep, and then the ride woke me up.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite Disney ride?
Hyperspace Mountain. Hyperspace Mountain, for sure. What was my next question? I forgot it in my excitement about Thunder Mountain. What is next on your Disneyland or Disney World list? Like, obviously I know you want to go to all of them, but like what's your like highest priority one and why?
What's really sad is that technically next on the list and priority was Disneyland, California, original Disney, because sadly it was going to be the perfect time for us to go, because with the 70th celebrations, they were bringing back a lot of things that used to be in that park that we never thought we would get to see. So they were bringing back this incredible nighttime parade called Paint the Night. So they've brought that back. They've brought back this other parade. I can't remember the name of it. But it's like this Pixar parade, and it's got like Four Town in it and from Turning Red. All these incredible things plus new things for the 70th celebration. So we were like, we've been considering it, and then they announced that all of these things that, you know, years and years back we would have loved to have seen, you know, they're coming back, and we were like, oh my god, it's a sign, we have to do it, this is wild. But then
what's your favorite Disney ride that you've never been on that you really want to go on?
There's a couple now. They're both in, well, there's a few. There's two in Hollywood Studios now, in Walt Disney World. There is Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, which is also in California as well, actually. I would go on that. And oh, the other one's also in California, is in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, Rise of the Resistance. Oh my god, I want to go on that so bad. So bad. I don't even know anything about Star Wars. I think the newest Star Wars film I watched was the newest ones of the ones that have come out. What was it called? Force Awakens? I don't even know the name of it. I don't care.
That's the first one of the latest trilogy. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. You could just leave it at that. I don't know who those people are. You don't want to watch Return of the Jedi. Is that what it's called? Not Return of the Jedi? Last Jedi? I don't even know. I've collectively removed it from my mind. I went to the midnight premiere, and it's the worst thing I've ever done. And then Skywalker. Is that what they're called? You ever say a word and you're like, that's not a real word? And like, I know they made up a lot of words for Star Wars, but that feels like it's not a real word. Anyway, I feel like Star Wars at Disneyland is like more fun than Star Wars really is. Like, I think there's something conceptually about realizing it in the world around you that is just like more fun.
Yeah. I can't imagine experiencing Galaxy's Edge as a Star Wars fan, because as a non-Star Wars fan, and like to the point where I'm like, I could barely name a character, I had the time of my life. It was amazing. It was so immersive and interactive. It was really cool. I was like, I have no idea what's going on, but it was really cool. And you know, when you get to see the Millennium Falcon, like, incredible.
Disney food. What's your favorite Mickey-shaped food item?
You can't beat Mickey Premium Bar in Walt Disney World. I think they do them in Paris as well. It's essentially just like the Magnum ice creams.
Yeah.
Ice cream inside a chocolate shell, essentially. Oh, and it's Mickey shaped.
Yeah.
That's a heart. That's not Mickey. I was doing the ears. It's Mickey shaped. It's nothing better when it's really hot and you're like, the Mickey ice cream.
I really liked the Mickey shaped pizza we got.
Ooh.
I think it was just more like the vibes of like we hadn't been very diligent with food, and we were like, we need to go get some food. And we went and we got that pizza, and I think it changed my life. Who's your favorite character to meet?
To meet?
Goofy. Yep.
In all forms. He's just funny. Mm. I love him. You compliment him and he gets all shy. Mm. But I've also had incredible meet and greets with Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yes.
Incredible. Including the iconic, he tried to steal from me. Didn't realise that my bag opens upside down and spilt the entire contents of my handbag on the floor. And then he had to try and not break character. He was stood there going, what's happened? What's happened? To the character attendant. I'm pissing myself. Jess is pissing herself. The character attendant is picking up, like, cards and Vaseline from the floor. Like,
oh my god.
And I'm like, it opens upside down. He's like, oh. Incredible.
Thanks for tuning in to our Yapcast episode on Disney parks.
Tune back in for our next episode in 2 weeks, where we tackle one of Moira's special interests.
Ooh.
What will it be?